brightening the air. Let me see you playing everywhere. For your lights are shining free. I give all I am to thee. Open my eyes to the world.
And that was William Vitalis singing Open My Heart to the World. The program, Let's Find Out, is about a union of science, spirituality, and the ultimate raising of human consciousness. Let's Find Out brings you knowledge and inspiration of your inner divine temple. This universe is expanding, and we must join in because that is what cures us and what higher learning is all about. There is a new wave of illumination flowing onto and throughout the planet Earth. BBS Radio brings this information to the world in various ways. There are many programs and subjects on BBS Radio, as are our culture and languages. There is a team of tireless people producing and editing programs to bring you viewpoints of how to grow within and develop and strengthen your own spirituality. This brings new understanding, expansion, new programs, awareness on how to improve your life, and messages from the unknown. If spirituality can be considered a movement, BBS Radio is one of the fastest growing in the world and one of the most talked about topics. Perhaps it's because it has the power to be a conduit for self-definition, born of an inner longing to cultivate a purposeful life and establish a deeper connection to the universe. Each program, as well as the engineers and owners of BBS Radio, are dedicated to this. The ultimate desire of human consciousness is a connection to your blessed higher self. This wave of new energy and purpose helps you manage your emotional body. Meditation is key and strengthens and guides us to be able to give just a little more. Take the time to listen to your favorites on BBS Radio. Who can predict the energy and triumphs that will come? The joy that is felt as the heart opens and expands. When you are desperate, empty, in despair, and fatigued, reach out to Let's Find Out and BBS Radio for strength, goodwill, cooperation, and kindness. Many of your questions will be answered here. Let's Find Out is a program that does exactly what it says. It finds out. Please write me, Elizabeth_Joyce@Verizon.net. Email me with questions and interests in spiritual growth, as well as the workings of the universe. Somehow, some way, and through someone, we will find your answers. This program is all about you. The archives are full of infinite material. If you have missed this show in its entirety or any other show on BBS Radio, you can catch up during the week by accessing the archives. Share with kindred spirits journeying along with you on how they pursue higher levels of consciousness through the light energy, chakras, angels, reincarnation, prophecies, alternative medicine, spiritual retreats, and more. And unlike religion, spirituality allows for interpretation. It creates your third eye awakening, and you could manifest in the calmness that comes from spending time with your dog, preparing a sustainable meal, helping someone in need, or by just sitting still and listening. Let's begin by listening to tonight's program on Let's Find Out with Elizabeth Joyce. Well, good evening. This is Elizabeth Joyce, and we are well on our way into the month of Scorpio and almost up to Halloween. So tonight, I have a wonderful guest who's really going to help us a little bit with Halloween and a little bit maybe we're going to get some of the truth about what's really going on in the universe. Jennifer Stein is a filmmaker, and she has just completed a film about UFOs, and I am so anxious to get the information. Good evening, Jennifer. How are you?
Good evening, Elizabeth. What a joy to be on your show. Thanks for inviting me. Well, thank you. Now, you did an undertaking. My goodness, this was quite an undertaking because I know I'm trying to do my own movie. I know what it takes. What inspired you to even think about doing a movie about UFOs?
Well, I had the pleasure of meeting Travis Walton, and the film is called Travis, The True Story of Travis Walton, and it's a documentary. It's a feature film, meaning that it's longer than 60 minutes. It's about 80 minutes, and it's an in-depth look at the Travis Walton story, because it's one of the best well-known and well-documented UFO stories, but a lot of people don't really have the real truth of the story.
His name was new to me, so tell us a little bit about how this all started.
Okay, well, in 1975, Travis was one of seven loggers that worked in Arizona in the Sitgraves National Forest. And while the loggers were leaving the forest one day on November 5th, 1975, they encountered a craft hovering in the canopy of the trees. And all seven of the loggers clearly knew it was a UFO. I mean, there was no mistaking this as Jupiter or some aircraft or something like that.
Identified flying object.
Yes, they all knew exactly what it was. And as a result of this encounter, Travis, who was sitting in the front seat, decided to jump out of the truck and run right up to this UFO that was hovering about 20 feet off the ground. I'm shortening the story a bit here, but Travis gets hit by a beam of light that's like a reaction from the craft that comes out and throws him as if a grenade or a bomb went off. And his friends assume that they are next, and they drive away and leave him for what they think is dead.
He wasn't hurt.
He was probably killed. He was hurt very seriously by this.
Wasn't he stunned but not physically hurt?
Well, no one knows for sure. It's a complicated story. That's why a documentary needed to be made. The boys actually drive away, fearing for their own life, and then they realize in a few minutes, even if Travis is dead, they have to go back and get him. So they turn their truck around and head back into the forest area where they're working, and they see the craft take off, the same craft they could see. Mm-hmm. It just zipped away. So when they got back to the actual site where this beam had hit Travis and where they expected Travis to be lying, Travis was no longer there. He was gone. And they searched for him and couldn't find him. So when this story broke in the news in 1975, in fact, Walter Cronkite was one of the people to break the news on national television. It broke as a missing person story, a homicide story, and a UFO story all in one. And it's been confused and discredited and a mixed up, jumbled story with lots of different people's opinions about it for almost 40 years. In fact, it has been 40 years. We just celebrated the 40th anniversary of Travis's.
And of course, they just don't understand energy off the planet, which I do, by the way.
Yes. I mean, many people's minds are just a little more limited, probably, than yours, Elizabeth, and many of your listeners.
Because they don't know how to deal with it. But as you meditate and as you become a healer yourself, you realize what can happen with a ray of light and how the molecules can be split and then brought back together again. That's why I was saying I didn't think he was really hurt.
Well, we're not really sure exactly what happened to Travis, but I do go into some depth on it in the movie. What I also do is I interview all the people that were involved in Travis's case. You know,
the men that were there, were you able to get all of them? There were four, right?
Yeah, well, there were actually seven altogether. If you don't count Travis, who gets hit by the beam, there were six who saw this happen to him. Two of them are no longer living. So of the four living loggers, yes, I got them. I got the police who were involved in the investigation, and even the state of Arizona polygraph expert who actually administered polygraph on these boys, because with Travis missing, they were accused of murder. Mm-hmm. And they underwent polygraph tests to prove their innocence, which you almost never have in a UFO story. So there's a lot of really meaty evidence around Travis's story that brings a lot of legitimacy to it.
Well, the question that I'm sitting here asking you is, didn't he come back?
Yes. He was missing for 5 days. And on the fifth day, the boys who had been looking for him, with about 500 search and rescue people, it was at least 100 people every day who had been out looking for him. So there was, you know, there could have been roughly 500 people involved in this story. The boys in the logging crew demanded that somebody give them a polygraph test because no one believed them. Everyone thought one of the guys probably killed him. Maybe it was an accident or maybe it was deliberate. You know, this crew didn't really all know each other very, very well. Some of them had only been on the job 2 months, some others 2 weeks. And there was some fighting that broke out from time to time. And it was suspected that something happened, an accident or a fight, and the boys murdered him and maybe even were hiding the body. And the police really wanted them to come forward and just tell them what had happened because they didn't believe the UFO story. And to clear their innocence and to take people off their back, they opted to take a lie detector test. In fact, they demanded it.
But of course, a lot of people don't believe in those either.
Correct. as a result, they basically, you know, they all passed it. One's of their polygraphs at the time was considered inconclusive because he got all flustered and very upset and walked out of the polygraph before it was complete. But then he retook it a while later and passed. And all of the boys, over the course of a number of years in their lives, took multiple polygraphs and they passed all of them. So one or two polygraphs is unique. Six people passing a polygraph with the same results is unique, but six people taking multiple polygraphs, the exponential, you know, likelihood that they have made up this story becomes impossible. Like you get up into the millions upon millions of chances that they actually made this up and then all lied about it and all passed multiple polygraphs. It's just not possible.
I remember the story, and I worked in aviation. That was my field. And around at the same time, it might have been a couple of years earlier, one of the pilots at the airport, I worked at Teterboro Airport in New York, had a similar experience driving up the Taconic Parkway.
Yes.
And this craft landed on the road.
Yes.
And he was gone for 3 days and came back.
Wow.
And I didn't remember a thing.
You said he did not remember a thing?
Not a thing. Didn't remember a thing. Just knows that the time had passed and there was no memory of it. So I have heard about these incidences before. And of course, they're kept pretty quiet. Everybody thinks you're insane and nobody believes it. But these things have happened and they've happened to a lot of people.
Yes, they
have.
It's
nice to begin to prove, to bring it out. I think it's great you made the movie.
Yes, and I'm really honored that the film has been well received. I've put it in a number of film festivals because as a filmmaker, you really want to do that. It gives you some feedback and you find out whether or not you can get a distributor and if anyone's interested in maybe marketing the film for you. So out of about 45 film festivals that I put it in, 22 of them accepted it and gave me, you know, what's called an official screening. And about 6 of those, I won additional awards as well, like for best documentary.
It's wonderful. Can you give us a little teaser about what's in the movie?
You're meaning verbally over the phone or sure. Tell people where they can go see one, because yes, I do have 2 different trailers. I have a 1-minute version and I have a 3 or 4 minute version that are up online at the website, TravisWaltonTheMovie.com. So if anyone listening goes there, they can actually watch some little short, video clips and trailers about the film. But, it is a very fast-paced, detective-style documentary that it leads the viewer to ask many, many questions. It doesn't answer all the questions, but it lays out Travis's experience and the people involved in Travis's story very succinctly. So someone trying to understand the true facts of the story can really pick it up. Part of the reason I did this is there's a big movement these days with younger generations who are
having a spiritual renaissance.
Well, we are. Yeah. But what I also notice is people are beginning to become more open-minded, and younger generations are not necessarily reading the way older generations did. They're really getting their...
They're the new children. You know about the indigo children and the crystal children and the rainbow children, and now starting in 2010, we have the far-seeing children, and these kids know the truth.
Well, they certainly pick it up. They resonate with it, and they pick it up faster. And I felt that for the younger generations, this story needed to be archived and documented for future generations, and also to sort of bring some reconciliation maybe to the boys that are still living in the crew, because this ruined their lives. And many of them had didn't talk to each other for many years because of the trauma that it created in their family. Yeah. Their communities. It is a shame, and it doesn't need to be that way. So I tried to bring some healing at the 40th anniversary of this event, and I think I accomplished that.
How long did it take you to make this film? There was a lot of research involved, right?
There was. It depends on which version of the film we're talking about, because even yesterday I was working on an improvement to go out to a film conference that will happen in Los Angeles in the beginning of November. So, I mean, I started in 2010 thinking about it. I started doing in-depth research in 2011. Really, it was between 3 to 5 years, depending on how you look at it.
Wow.
Yeah, I had one version of the film done in about 4 years, and then I remade it because I had a rights issue where I didn't expect I would. I have some archive footage in the film because their story was so well publicized in the news. There was lots of archival footage I could maybe make access of if I could get it legally and use it and buy rights to it.
Great. That's great. Tell me how Travis is now. Does he think he has more of ESP? Do you think he has more of spiritual awareness? How is he after this incident?
Well, the life experience itself was challenging for him, for sure, but it did force him to grow and expand, probably beyond a lot of the other boys who were in the work crew. Not that they all didn't grow emotionally and spiritually in their life, but Travis was thrust more into the mainstream of discussing this issue. So he had to think deeply about it and evaluate his own emotional and spiritual well-being. And I think that he's a wonderful person. He's come... You know, he's grown into a very sincere and authentic and a genuine individual who realizes that this is his calling and this is his responsibility.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The soul chose it or it couldn't have happened. I come from the belief, as many of us do on this wonderful station, that nothing happens by accident and that he had to have been chosen even out of the six to receive the energy. See, we're in a whole new energy field, Jennifer. Let me share this with you. I think it'll add juice to your story. We had December 21st, 2012, a new energy come on the planet from the center of the galaxy called the double helix. Now, science has proved that energy is here, and they're beginning to use something called scalar waves to heal, which is a part of what this gift was. Although he had this happen in 75, which means that mankind wasn't ready for that energy in 75. So they probably came upon the ship by accident, as they say, and he was picked as the highest vibrationary spiritual being of the group to receive that energy, which is why they did it to him.
Wow. I bet Travis would love to hear this interpretation.
It's not an interpretation, it's fact.
Yeah.
The reason that I know that is because I've had other experiences about this subject very deeply. I would like to talk to him about it.
Yeah, I will. In fact, he'll be here next Friday. I pick him up at the airport in Philadelphia.
Great.
One of the other boys in the crew is really very deeply spiritual. His name is Kenny Peters. And he actually sort of told me almost the same thing you did. He believed that it was a divine intervention of sorts. And it was almost a demonstration of a rebirth of the Phoenix, that
Absolutely.
The Travis was killed and that he was gone for 5 days and he was picked up and brought back to life.
Jennifer, no. Do you know what a walk-in is? Have you ever heard of Ruth Montgomery, the author?
Yes, I have. Yes.
Well, Ruth Montgomery was writing books in the 50s and 60s, and she wrote about what a walk-in is. Travis had a walk-in. The souls changed at the time of the hit, so that the old soul ascended to where his pod school is and is there now, and the new soul came in for a specific spiritual purpose, to show the world that the universe is larger than we've limited, that there's wonderful things ahead for us, and that once we learn how to drive this car, it's better than an electric car, and how to live our life connected to this invisible energy, everything is going to shift. We will have no more war. We will have no more famine. We will have no more disease. It takes time. We're in the process of it. That's why I told you we're in the starts and the very beginnings of a spiritual revolution.
Uh-huh. Well, I know I'm on a spiritual path in my life, and I think it was really a calling for me, although I self-selected myself to stand up and help Travis and make this project and sort of underwrite it myself and make sure that it happened.
Right.
I'm probably maybe a spiritual mentor of Travis's in some way.
Well, I think you're mentoring each other. When is your birthday, Jennifer?
I'm an Aries. I am April 2nd.
What year?
1955.
And when is Travis's birthday?
Let's see if I know his birthday. I think it's in February, I think.
Maybe
February 12th.
That makes him an Aquarian. You know I'm an astrologer. I write columns all over the country. So
yes.
What's happening to you, and this started about 7 years ago, Jennifer, is you got hit by something called Uranus. The energy of Uranus rules filmmaking and motion pictures. And you, if you go back 7 years, you may just have been coming into this film at that time.
Yes.
And seeing the people at that time. Because Uranus went into Aries at that time. It's about to leave Aries and go into Taurus. But during this whole time, you had your hurdles and your bumps and your bruises, but you've made the film. And you must have had a lot of people help you. You have a lot of associates and co-producers. So
yes,
who else was involved in the project?
Well, a dear friend named Stanton Friedman helped me a great deal. He's a well-known speaker and lecturer on the UFO topic, but he also was involved in researching Travis's project or story way back in 1978. So he was the first one to get me to the original archive footage that I used in the first version of the film. And you know, he also taught me about archives. He really kind of mentored me and took me to the American Philosophical Society, along with Kathy Marden, another great researcher, whose aunt was Betty Hill. So we all went there and researched a number of times Philip Klass's files, and I also researched all of the communications that Philip Klass had with Mike Rogers, who was the crew boss. So that was one major, you know, mentor. And of course, I had another gentleman by the name of Ben Hansen, who used to be on television, I think on the Sci-Fi channel. He did a program called Factor Fake, I think it was called. And he's just a really good researcher, a former FBI person. And he stepped up.
It's hard to research that which is off the planet. It's awfully hard to research it. I know many people have not been believed. And have been called all kinds of names and put on all kinds of medication. We didn't even want to talk about it. Did you go back to the site in Arizona?
Yes.
The film location?
Twice, and I filmed up there with the boys. I brought all of the crew boys back there, and they walked through the forest with Travis and talked about what happened at the time, how they feel about it now, what they're happy about, what they're sad about.
Hold on to it. I was in Sedona, Arizona, just after the harmonic conversions in 1988, with a group of people, about 30 people, and all of us saw two ships flying through the Red Rocks.
Wow.
And we were told by the locals that UFOs come in and land there all the time.
Well, and Travis's location is really not that far. Maybe it's an hour east from there, an hour and a half. It's really not far at all. Snowflake, Arizona, and where this Sitgraves National Forest is in northeastern Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so, and I'm in love with Grand Canyon and also Flagstaff, where the Hopi Indian tribe is. I was a guest there back in my earlier days as well.
Yes, it's a beautiful part of the country. It really is.
It is. So did you uncover any unknown facts and learn new facts? You know, they made a similar movie back in the early 90s called The Sci-Fi Channel and Travis Walton's Story, Fire in the Sky, right?
Yes. Well, that was actually, there were two productions. The Sci-Fi Channel did its own little in-depth reenactment of Travis's story, and they did a very good job with it. But also the Paramount Pictures producer, Tracy Torme, did a film called Fire in the Sky. And that film actually was a pretty big Hollywood blockbuster at the time. And it did not really tell the true story. It really fictionalized the story in a couple of different ways. I mean, it was centered around a logging crew that encounters a craft and one of them goes missing. It was the essential part of the story, but they mixed up some of the crew members' personalities. They had less crew than there really were.
In Hollywood.
right. And they over-dramatized some of the fighting that went on between the boys and, and especially what happened to Travis on board this craft. They changed that because Travis woke up with some memory. You know, when he finally was returned on the street, he remembered that he had an experience when he was on board the craft, and it was very clear in his mind.
And what was that? Can you give us a hint?
Sure. He thought he was in a hospital when he woke up because he knew he was being cared for. And yes. He was in terrible pain. He was probably very dehydrated. He couldn't see very well. He had terrible pain in his chest, and he could hardly breathe. And
the brain is connected. The brain is electrical. The brain is connected to the heart, and the brain is what makes the heart do its beating. So what happened when he got hit by that energy that was too much for his human body to accept, it had to have been put off kilter. It's almost like a computer, freezing up. He had to have, and I think they were very sorry. I don't think that they expected that energy to affect him that way, the other beings.
Yes. So he encountered short little gray beings that were around him. When he finally came to, he realized they were looking at him, and that frightened him. So he reacted kind of negatively, tried to defend himself from them with medical device tools, and these beings left him alone. They basically looked at each other and looked back at Travis and said, well, they didn't say anything to him, but they just left the room. And Travis then encountered another being who he thought was a human. This being had blonde hair and blue eyes, was a male, maybe about 28, 29 years old, looked very youthful, a little taller than Travis, very muscular, had a jumpsuit on that kind of looked like a Star Trek jumpsuit, and had a clear helmet on his head. And this being came into the craft he was in and took him out of the craft into what Travis describes as what we might think of as a UFO hangar, like an airplane hangar, a large building with a number of UFOs in it, and then into a medical facility attached to this hangar, where he met three other beings of similar stature who were not wearing helmets, but who then put some sort of a gas mask over Travis's face to get him to cooperate with them, to go back to sleep, to lose consciousness. And the next thing he remembers, he wakes up on the street outside of Heber, and
probably were using an apparatus that we don't know of yet, better than any pill or alcohol that we can take to calm him down so that the body could heal and come back into its human center at a certain vibrational rate. That's what that machine probably was. As soon as it came back into its rate, then he was free to go. So they were only trying to help him.
Well, that's what Travis has finally come to understand, Elizabeth, but it's taken him most of his lifetime to be able to do that and reflect upon it. And he now looks at it probably more as a rescue mission than anything else.
Absolutely. It's exactly what it was.
Yeah, it was not a typical abduction that many people have where they feel like, you know,
bodily fluid. Some of those abductions that we hear about, Jennifer, are not factual. They're imagined. Some of them are. But listen, we need to take a break. This is okay. Elizabeth Joyce on Let's Find Out. I'm talking to Jennifer Stein, and we're going to come back. And we're going to talk more. And Jennifer, I hope that you'll come back on the show sometime in November where you can answer the questions from the audience. Because now that we're telling the story, and the movie's going to be right here in Bala Cynwyd, now that we're telling the story, millions of people are going to have questions to share. So I would love to think about coming back.
I would love it.
Okay, this is Elizabeth Joyce, and we'll be back right after these messages.
This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. And now it's time for your weekly cosmic tip. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Stargazing, week of October 23rd through October 29th, 2017. Mars moved into Libra on Sunday the 22nd. Although Libra is thought of as the peacemaker, remember that it's Mars' least favorite sign. This new moon we just had on October 19th in Libra is about conflict, separation, scandals, and terrorist act. This new moon energy is about your reputation and the ability to connect with the public associated with your career. The energy will be attracted to careers that are devoted to community-oriented vocations, nursing, caregiving, children, parental services, pets, land management, and farming. One must muse that Hugh Hefner's passing was perfect timing, just weeks before the Harvey Weinstein scandal. This energy is about secrets coming out into the light and bringing one in front of the public because of them or as a result of the energy influence. People want to belong in a public position. And the energy is connected to the social status and fulfillment of their goals. Notice this energy has come in just before Election Day in November. Whatever the outcome is, will tell you the voice of the people and what is actually going on. It will show us the basic theme that people need to care about one another while trying to make the world a better place to live in. This week brings a mixed bag of tricks just before Halloween. Tuesday the 24th brings a step forward and provides an excellent time to meditate and tune into your intuition. The day is void of logical or clear thinking, so you may want to stay home and sleep late. Time to take action, to seek new relationships, or to bring harmony and flow into your existing relationships. That means all types of relationships, love, family, work, self, etc. Mercury makes a harmonious trine to Neptune early on Tuesday morning, so pay attention to any of your prophetic dreams. Don't forget to journal them because you may want to look at any prophetic notes that you took to see if the outcome in the dream was the same as what occurred. Let the good times roll on Thursday, October 26th, because that's the day that the Sun and Jupiter connect in Scorpio. This is your buy your lottery ticket day for sure. Thursday is a day when opportunities are everywhere. If you begin the day with a meditation and visualization, you just might get your wish. Put out the energy and see what it brings for you. You may feel that you're taking one step forward and two steps back on Friday. Venus and Pluto are in a wrestling match, and expressing extreme feelings can become the new normal. Although this strong square can become a transformation, the changes that occur can come by in the form of revenge, jealousy, and/or manipulation. The 27th and 28th are your party days. That brings out your inner goblin under an eccentric Aquarius moon. Many kids may trick or treat over the weekend. The moon is in Aquarius starting Friday morning and continuing through Sunday afternoon. This supports Halloween parties as Aquarius allows the eccentric within to come out in the various costumes and activities. Aquarius is also a social moon.
However, Friday evening has that challenge between Venus and Pluto, so avoid pushing your hidden or naughty desires out onto the person that you're attracted to. On a more practical level, as October comes to a close, put your core life force into big projects and be willing to step into your higher philosophical self to accomplish those projects. Good luck to everyone. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. And now let's get back to tonight's show and our guest, Jennifer Stein. Is it a headache or someone wishing you ill? Is a sudden change in behavior due to drugs or the influence of evil? Do you find it hard to pray, to reach out to God? Psychic attack is more common than one might think and is a malady that can be overcome by specific metaphysical and spiritual treatment. Elizabeth Joyce clearly explains what the symptoms of psychic attack are, where it comes from, how you can overcome the attack, and what simple exercises and meditations you can do to protect yourself from future attacks. She compares psychic attacks from days gone by with their modern counterparts and illustrates with anecdotes and examples. Is there any such thing as a ghost, and can they harm you? Can other people's negative and destructive thoughts harm you? If so, you can take steps to protect yourself from these energies. Although you would seek and find help with any physical emergency, this book, Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim? By Elizabeth Joyce, can be helpful by your learning good spiritual practices for clearing away negative energies and keeping up with the housework of the soul. Then, if something overthrows you, there are some good strategies at hand so you can begin to remove them. Learn what to do as well as what not to do. Elizabeth Joyce is an expert on ghost busting, and she has been to court on many occasions helping people get their money back from the gypsies and so-called psychic stealers. This is a book that you'll want to pick up and keep in your library because it's a how-to book as well as an informative book. Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim? By Elizabeth Joyce is available at Amazon.com as well as the website www.new-visions.com. Be sure to pick up Psychic Attack. You will want to hear Elizabeth's personal story as well as get this great information that could be helpful to you and your family in the future. Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim? By Elizabeth Joyce. This is Elizabeth Joyce on Let's Find Out. Over the past 30 years or so, I have been blessed to open up to my inner self of intuition and inner guidance, which has been a valuable and priceless gift. Mankind has always believed in unseen energies inhabiting in an invisible world of lives and existences from the other realms. Do you think you're a little bit psychic? Do you think you have a strong intuition? Would you like to learn how to open your intuition and develop your sixth sense? I have put together 3 books on the subject: Opening to Your Intuition and Psychic Sensitivity, Developing Your Sixth Sense, Book 1, Book 2, and Book 3. These are my trilogy books, and what they do is introduce you to the subject of metaphysics in all of its various forms. Do you know about the chakras, the 7 energy centers of the body? Do you have a meditation practice? Do you wonder about your dreams? Have you ever met your spiritual guide? Have you had an out-of-body experience, or do you know how to use creative visualization? What about basic astrology? You can begin to build your spiritual practice and open to your intuition with these 3 books. Opening to Your Intuition and Psychic Sensitivity, Book 1, Book 2, and Book 3. It has been said by many parents of teenagers and young people that Book 1 really does help the younger ones begin to learn about this subject and develop themselves as well. All books are available on Amazon.com as well as my website, new-visions.com. Pick them up. They'll always be a part of your library. Thank you. This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out. I wanted to let everyone know that my new book, a memoir called Unlimited Realities, is now available on Amazon.com. It just got released from the publisher this week. This memoir is the life of a gifted seer and healer, how a woman transcends from pain and sorrow
as destiny taps her on the shoulder. Rather than just shrugging off her problems, she began to gaze inward and upward. She became spiritually awakened and floated above her body, gaining wisdom and knowledge. When I was 8, I became ill with a touch of TB. We lived in Ridgewood, New Jersey, but Mother had grown up in Warner, New Hampshire, where her mother and family still lived. I was shipped up to Grandma's to live for a year, which was the beginning of saving my soul as well as my life. When Dick Clark was with us, he reviewed the American Bandstand chapter of Unlimited Realities and absolutely loved it. He said that Unlimited Realities would make a great read. So order yours now at Amazon.com, or you can order it from my website, www.new-visions.com. Don't miss this one. It is a great read and shows you a lot about now as well as the hereafter and what happens to us after we pass from this earth plane. Thank you for listening to Let's Find Out. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. I would like you to be a guest on my BBS radio show, Let's Find Out. It's a live internet radio show on bbsradio.com at Station 2. We discuss holistic health modalities, ESP, psychic services, New Age books, and much, much more. BBS Radio has a great worldwide listenership, and we utilize an over 6,000 name email list every week to promote our guests. This is really a great way to advertise yourself, your business, your interests, your books or products, to promote yourself and your website and gain credibility. You will love this. Being on the air is really a lot of fun. The show is an hour long, and you can talk about yourself and promote your gifts and your talents any way you please. We will create a list of 15 questions or more that I will ask you during the show to focus on that which you want to promote. I would love to book you as a guest for the show. We are on Sunday nights live at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If this sounds like something you would like to do, please send me an email for the Let's Find Out agreement form and all the details. My email is elizabeth.joyce.bbsradio@gmail.com. We are now booking air dates between December of 2017 and March of 2018. Thank you for your consideration.
You're listening to Let's Find Out on bbsradio.com. Station 2. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet radio talk show on the planet. It's Let's Find Out. An honored guest come every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial 888-429-5471. Again, that's 888-429-5471 in the U.S. and Canada. If you're just tuning in and would like to hear this show in its entirety tomorrow, you can download it at the archive link at bbsradio.com. Remember, if it's not mainstream, it's BBS Radio. So now, let's find out with host Elizabeth Joyce.
Hey, but we can't...
And we'd like to make...
I'm sorry, Mike, we... There's...
A contact with you. Baby.
In your mind, you have capacities, you know, to telepath messages through the vast unknown. Please close your eyes and concentrate with every thought you think upon the recitation we're about to say. Calling occupants of interplanetary craft. Calling occupants of interplanetary most extraordinary craft. Calling occupants of interplanetary craft.
Calling occupants of interplanetary craft. We are your friends. Calling occupants of interplanetary craft.
And that was Karen Carpenter with one of my favorite songs from the 70s, Occupants from Interplanetary Craft. I think it was so wonderful that she and Richard were able to create such a timeless song. Just beautiful. My guest tonight is Jennifer Stein, and we're talking about Occupants from Interplanetary Craft. Good evening, Jennifer. We're back.
Hi, Elizabeth. It's nice to be back.
I do want to review a little bit and talk about this movie that's coming around the Philadelphia area with Travis, and I want you to tell about that and then maybe give us a few other places that this film will be able to be seen.
Well, right now, it's going to be shown October 29th, which is on Halloween weekend. It's the Sunday of Halloween weekend in the Bryn Mawr area at a school. It's called the Jack M. Barrick Hebrew Academy, and it'll be they have a wonderful auditorium and theater there, which is the reason why we chose that location. So it's from about 1:30 to 4:30 or 5. We'll screen the film, and we'll do a Q&A with Travis, who will be there in person, as well as a couple of other people who are in the film. David Jacobs will be there, and of course both the producer and the co-producer, myself and my co-producer Bob Terrio from the Philadelphia area, will be there, and we'll do a Q&A right after the film. But that's the only place people can see this version of the film. We're hoping actually to sell the film to a distributor or a network, or get it up on Netflix or something like that in the soon future, we hope.
Going out to California to Santa Monica to that event, you probably will have some luck with.
Yes, we're hoping that we get a buyer this November, possibly in California. But you know, we don't know. We're hopeful. But for your listening audience who wants to learn more, if they visit the website TravisWaltonTheMovie.com and they just go to the screening page, they can get all the details, watch a couple of quick promo links there, and they can buy tickets online. The option to buy tickets online will close on this coming Thursday, the 26th, because I'm running a UFO conference over the weekend for MUFON. The Mutual UFO Conference will be in your neck of the woods in the Bucks County area at the Oxford Valley Sheraton there at 400 Oxford Valley Road, and that'll be Friday afternoon and evening and all day Saturday, and then Sunday a few of us will journey back to Bryn Mawr and show this film.
Great. Well, that sounds very interesting. I wondered if you're going to bring it to New York.
It has screened once or twice in New York with some different groups. It was at the Philip K. Dick Film Festival down in the Village last January, and it won their best documentary.
Great.
So I was very honored to. And we also were in the Harlem Film Festival in New York. So it has screened once or twice, twice actually up in the New York area. But it really depends on, you know, if someone invites me to share it. This screening we're having in Philadelphia is rare and unique in that it's a fundraiser for a local public access network that I help produce programming for.
That's great. And so, what was that?
That's called Radner Studio 21, and they do public access programming all throughout the main line of Philadelphia. And we have a lot of little local producers, but they need funding and underwriting for many of the things they produce. So by screening my film and by networking with others, we kind of help one another.
I want you to talk a little bit about things that I find happen, and that's called resistance. So you really have done a lot of research. I'm sure that you might have had some resistance from the sheriff's office and maybe from the law enforcement community. Is that true?
Well, this particular film, you know, when I called the Marlon Gillespie, who was the sheriff at the time, he was still living. He's since passed away, so I'm quite grateful I got him on camera. He was actually willing to speak with me because he himself had a lot of his own experiences. And, you know, Travis's case wasn't the only UFO case he got called off on, but it was certainly one of the most famous ones. But his reputation was always at stake, and people thought he was a kook or a nut because just because he dealt with this. So he really wanted to clear the record, and I think he really wanted to see Travis again. I'll tell you, I do get resistance, but it's in the strangest places. Like, I've been trying to hang posters and flyers up about even a free lecture Travis offered to do at a local,
right?
Yeah, well, at a local library here in Radnor. He's doing a free lecture the following night. And local Starbucks are always happy to hang up posters and flyers for, you know, different free events in the community. But I have two here in the Berwyn and the Paoli area who won't hang the poster. And
well,
I
was told that at Starbucks you have to be a charity organization. I've had the same thing with my psychic fears, and we are a charity organization. And I hung it up in the post office, and they would rip it down.
Yes, yes. Well, so there was some resistance because this is a totally free event at the library. Ooh. And it's for, you know, he's coming into the area for a nonprofit organization, which is Mainline MUFON. I'm sponsoring him. That's nonprofit. And the film screening we're doing is a nonprofit public access network. So no one's really making money here. And the lecture at the library is free. But I think they're prejudiced about the UFO topic. And that's why they won't hang the poster.
They're afraid.
Every day, and they take it down. They won't let me put it up.
They're afraid, and they're just afraid of so much. And of course, when you have fear, then you bring in anger and resentment and projection and all that type of thing. And maybe some of these have had their own experiences, and they haven't been too swift because we do have something called negative entities around, and negative entities can scare the heebie-jeebies out of you. They really can. So I can understand it, but it certainly is something we all have to embrace and go forward. How in the world are we ever going to get off this planet until we learn to love what's off this planet? And the one thing I do know that is off this planet is war, judgment, and hatred. I think it's so funny when these are light beings and we try to shoot them with guns. To me, that's totally hysterical. Because, you know, the genie in the bottle?
Yes.
Well, in the bottle can't be tied up, he can't be shot, he can't be anything. And that's exactly what these are, but we haven't come to those terms yet. And we will.
Well, I'm very blessed. I have an enlightened group right in Wayne that comes to the free public programming I do at the public library. It's called Mainline MUFON. And we have so much fun. We have great speakers like you and other people come and give us a different perspective on life and things we don't understand. And, you know, sort of open the door and the windows for us to think outside the box.
That's wonderful. You know, I could talk to you all night, Jennifer, but I'm afraid we are out of time. We have to go into our meditation, but we're going to book some time and have you back, and I'm going to get the word out to everybody that you're coming and that we're going to answer questions, and that would be wonderful.
I so look forward to it. Thank you for having me on the show, Elizabeth. It's a great pleasure. And I look forward to the meditation.
Tell everybody about the where the movie's going to be shown again, Bala Cynwyd, Pennsylvania.
It's actually Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. Bryn Mawr. And if they go to TravisWaltonTheMovie.com, they can get all the information there. It's on the October 29th.
Thank you very much. This is Elizabeth Joyce, and you're listening to Let's Find Out. And next week, we're going to have Halloween weekend. So, of course, I'm going to be on with Frank St. James, and both of us will be answering your questions. And we can answer your questions personal, or we can answer any questions that you may have about ghosts and goblins. I'm looking forward to that. And now it's time for our meditation. So please begin to get ready and sit with both feet flat on the floor, keeping your spine straight. At first, we've got a little surprise for you. I kind of picked out a Halloween song for you to listen to, which I think is a lot of fun. Don't forget the joy. We always forget to talk about joy. There's so much joy in life. There's so much joy in the birds and the bees and knowing that this energy is now everywhere to help you to heal. So thank you for listening to Let's Find Out, and we'll be back next week. Good night.
Way now, back to back, belly to belly, well I don't give a damn, it's a dumb little day. Back to back, belly to belly, it'll be some bitch and Marina Heady caught us. Back to back, belly to belly, well I don't give a damn, cause I dumb little day. Back to back, belly to belly, it'll be some bitch and Marina. Zombie Jamboree took place in the New York Cemetery.
Where?
Zombie Jamboree took place in Long Island Cemetery. Zombies from all parts of the island.
Where?
Some of them are great Calypsonians. Hey, since the season was carnival, they got together in Bacchanal. What you doing?
Back to back, belly to belly, well I don't give a damn, cause I done that already. Back to back, belly to belly, it's the Zombie Jamboree. Back to back, belly to belly, well I don't give a damn, cause I done that already. Back to back, belly to belly, at the zombie jamboree.
One female zombie wouldn't behave, she says she wants me more slave. In the one hand she's holding a quart of wine, in the other she's pointing that she'll be mine. Well believe me folks, yes I had to rhyme.
Why?
The husband of a zombie ain't no fun.
No, not
I
it.
Says, oh no, my turtle dove and old bag of bones I cannot love. But what you doing?
Back to back, belly to belly, well I don't give a damn, cause I done that already. Back to back, belly to belly, at the zombie jamboree.
Oh, what a good game.
Back to back, belly to belly, well I don't give a damn, cause I done that already. Back to back, belly to belly, at the zombie jamboree.
Right then and there she raised her feet. I'm going to catch you now, my sweet. I'm gonna make you call me sweetie pie. I says, oh no, get back, you lie. I may be lying, but you will see.
What?
After you kiss this dead zombie.
Yeah!
Well, I never seen such a horror in my life. Can you imagine me with a zombie wife?
Yes!
Back to back, belly to belly, well I don't give a damn, cause I done that already. Back to back, belly to belly, at the zombie jamboree.
You're all alone, you know.
Back to back, belly to belly, well I don't give a damn, cause I done that already. Back to back, belly to belly, at the zombie jamboree.
This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. And now it's time to prepare for our very special meditation from Elizabeth Hepburn. I am using this to help you make a covenant with the universe that you will be present, positive, and patient as we come into this very powerful time of the solar eclipse. It's the first time that we've had an eclipse such as this in 99 years, but the last time it passed over the United States was during the century of the 1200s. So this is very, very meaningful, very powerful, and very forward-moving to bring us to the place of we know that love is the answer and where peace begins. So please sit in a chair with both feet flat on the floor,
take some deep breaths, 3 deep breaths, and make sure that you're relaxed. Feel yourself relax. The head, the shoulders, the back, your arms, your torso, your thighs, your legs, your feet. Just feel light running through you. Take another deep breath and prepare for the messages that are coming. And now it's time for the Let's Find Out meditation. We are going to be speaking about October and what it has brought to us in 2017 as a transformation and awareness to the surrenders and the powerful force of nature. Please sit in a chair with both feet flat on the floor, legs uncrossed, keeping your spine straight. Your shoes should be removed, and you are ready now to meditate. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Take another deep breath. And one more deep breath. October has become nature's funeral month. Nature glories in death more than in life. The month of departure is more beautiful than the month of emerging and coming. October, and then May. Every green thing loves to die in the bright colors. October has brought hurricanes, tornadoes, volcanic eruption, and destruction by fire. Your tombstone stands among the rest, neglect and alone. The names and dates are chiseled out or polished on marble stone. It reaches out to all who care, and it's too late to mourn. Many of you did not know that I exist. You died, and I was born. Yet each of us are cells of you, in flesh, in blood, and bone. Our blood contracts and beats a pulse that's entirely not our own. Dear ancestors, the place you filled 100 years ago spreads out among the ones you left, who would have loved you so. I wonder if you lived and loved. I wonder if you knew that someday I would find this place and come to visit you. Perhaps the most famous icon of the holiday Halloween is the jack-o'-lantern. Various authorities attribute it to either Scottish or Irish origin. However, it seems clear that it was used as a lantern by people who traveled the road at night, the scary face to frighten away spirits or fairies who otherwise might lead one astray. set on the porches and in the windows, they cast the same spell of protection over the household. Bobbing for apples may well represent the remnants of a pagan baptism rite called signing, according to some writers. The water-filled tub is a latter-day cauldron of regeneration into which the novice's head is immersed. The fact that the participant in this folk game is usually blindfolded with hands tied behind their back puts to mind of the craft of initiation ceremonies. The gilding of the Indian summer has mellowed in the pastures far and wide. The russet woods stand open, ripe to be stripped. But yet they were full of leaves and turned purple as their health bloomed, and then faded but did not wither. They tinged the hills with their color. Its time of flowers and even of fruit is over. Even if something is left undone, everyone must take the time to sit still and watch the leaves turn. Colors burst in wild explosion, fiery, flaming shades of fall, all in accord with my heart pounding out. Behold the autumn, the weaver, the bronze, and the yellow dying colors unfold into dreams. In the hordes of 1001, the bleeding, the injured, the wounded, the trapped are not wearing masks in this last notes of summer. Their flutes and horns in nightly screaming bursts within. Spare me these unending fires and bestow upon the flame the shades of love and fall. I remember more dearly other autumn afternoons that lay intensely silent under the old green trees. The wind runs high and cold with the low sun. How short his course, and the sea is running high. It shapes all that have gone. Cold has caught the wings of the birds as the season of ice is approaching. The scarlet of the fire and the maples can shake and make me cry. The clump of the maples on the hill and the one near this door seem redder quite a lot this year than last year or before. I wonder if it's just because the fires seem to be coming more and more. Oh, please bring the sweet, calm sunshine of October to warm the low spots upon its grassy mold. The purple oak leaf falls, the birch's bough drops, its bright soil like arrowheads of gold. And my lonely spirit bows as it sees the frosty osiers of smoke upon the hills. Even in death, for a reason that none of us knows, the wren laughs in the early shade, coming again, shining advance in the naked air in late morning. My love is for lightness, for a touch of a foot, a feather. The day is yet one more yellow leaf, and without turning, I kiss the light by an old abandoned well on the last month of gathering wild rose hips in the sun. Spring comes with flowers, autumn comes with the moon, summer with the breeze, and winter with the snow. When idle concerns don't fill your thoughts, then that is your best season.
With the falling snowflakes, I have come to a stillness, but not into my deep center. I'm just at a point outside in the glittering current of the river. My eyes stare at the bottom as I look into the river of love, as the irregular stones and iridescent sand grains, my mind moves into more than one place. In a country of half land and half water, I am renewed by death, thoughts of my death, the dry scent of a dying garden in September, the wind fanning the ashes in a low fire, and what I love is near at hand, always in the earth and the air. He is outside of everything. He is an aesthetic solitary light. He is beautiful. And he is the wings on the autumn evening, just a brush across your cheek in the dusty wind. May we all be aware of the importance of peace, honor, love, and harmony. Take a moment to say a prayer to those caught in Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Irma, and for our blessed neighbors and loved ones in Puerto Rico. Take a deep breath. Release the breath. Take another deep breath. Release the breath. Lean back and see if you can access your still point as you float into the experience of beyond you. And allow yourself to float up and feel the kiss of God. As you listen to Richard Shulman and the still point of peace from Ascension Harmonics.
Thank you.